Welcome to the Game On Podcast tonight. Not even round one, and we have our first coaching change. And Australia's test calamity. Where did it all go wrong, and what's next? And SA dominates the AFLW awards season. Welcome to the Game On Podcast. My name's Pete once again, joined in the studio here with Malcolm. And, mate, let's talk about your good from the weekend. I think I know what it's going to be, but I'll let you announce.
Yeah, Saturday night we had an event at Paynham Cricket Club, and you came along, Pete.
I did indeed.
And so,
thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah, so it was a look. Chris Ansell and his lovely wife, Beck, and Beck had a brain aneurysm not that long ago, and has lost complete sight in one eye and considerable damage done to the other.
Yes.
And so I admit I actually may have just rung Chris and not asked him whether he'd like this to happen. I might have rung him and told him it was happening. And, yeah, look, we had Wayne Phillips, Peter McIntyre, Michael Ace, John Harms and myself doing the event. And, look, it was a bloody good night. Lie, I'm happy that it's done.
And,
yeah, it was pretty full on with doing everything, but look, it was very successful. It was a really good night. Look, yes, of course, we'd like some more people there, but overall, I think it was a pretty positive vibe. And you know, there were little things out of the night. I thought Macca, the way Macca, you know, spoke about Beck and included, and the first, as soon as Peter McIntyre got there, he came straight up to me and right, which one's Beck, Malcolm? Mm-hmm. And took over, introduced, and
yes,
yeah. So we did cover the health element. It was good to get the serious side of Wayne Phillips as well. You know, we all know the humour side of Flipper, and he's very clever with that. You know, with Adelaide Oval being renamed Phillips Field and all that.
Yep, that
sort of
got
thing.
Dropped a few times.
But out of that, it's mucking around, and but Flipper's got a heart of gold. Does everything. So's Aishi. You know, someone may have walked up and said to Michael in one of the breaks, you know, you do this sort of thing a lot. And Michael said, you know, chance to give back to society. I like the chance to help. And he said, yeah, it helps that Malcolm's got my number on speed dial as well. And, yeah, so it was that was quite a good line, I thought, from Aishi.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, but it was. It was a rewarding night and, yeah, successful night.
Absolutely, mate. I got a chance to speak with Aishi privately, and he said, you know, how do I keep you under control? And there's a few people that are sort of having a bit of fun with that as well. But, it was a fantastic night, raising some much-needed money for the family there. Yeah. And we did take some video of that. We're going to put some of it up on YouTube or Facebook there, just to try and promote it a little bit more. And if anyone else would like to donate, you know, some of the prizes have obviously gone by now, but if you know, if you've got a small amount that you do want to donate to the cause, get in contact with yourself.
Yeah, just message me, because the GoFund page is it's only open for a few more days, but from trying to think when this goes up, it will still be open.
Yep.
So the GoFund page for Chris Ansell, or just message Malcolm Rulebook Ashwood from Facebook. That'd be greatly appreciated.
Absolutely. All right, mate, let's get into Around the Grounds.
Around the Grounds.
All right, mate, tonight we're going to take a bit of a deeper dive look at the AFL, especially with the draft now all being over. The AFLW and the basketball. But to kick us off first, mate, the cricket. The Australian Test summer couldn't have started any worse after such a positive start.
Oh. Look, at 6 for 70-odd, and I actually thought we let them off the hook. It sounds a bit stupid, let them off the hook to get 150. But I actually think on that first day, the pitch was doing a fair bit.
Yep.
And we should have bowled them out for a little bit less. But then, once we started to bat, geez, one, our batting was poor, but geez, Bumrah was good too. Bumrah was brilliant. So, out of that, but I, look, personally, I thought Australia got what they deserved. I'm sorry. I know it's the modern world, but two players off on maternity leave, so they're not playing before the first test. Pat Cummins hadn't played a Red Bull game, and it really showed how underdone he was. ridiculous. We're entering a huge test series and we're underdone. If you've got players who are exhausted from two, you know, over time, yeah, I'll wear that, but underdone is bullshit.
Yep.
It was pathetic. It was just ridiculous. So yeah, I don't get it.
I had it on my run sheet and you've covered it perfectly there, that it was a lack of preparation that was definitely the key there. Have we let sports science go a little too far?
Yes, I do think there's that.
Yeah.
But I get it in terms of it is such a huge time. And so, yes, time off for family. So I get that. Mm-hmm. But I'm sorry, Trevor said not to have had a game before the first test, I thought was ridiculous and wrong. Mm-hmm. And there was no doubt Cummins needed it. Cummins is, he may not hit his top of the third or fourth test. Now, the series might be over by then.
Yep.
He enters the series where really we need Cummins to match Bumrah. And guess what? He's a mile behind at the moment.
It is not happening, is it? Australia obviously bowling out India for 150 in the first innings. You sort of thought, maybe.
I thought we'd get a first innings lead and all that. Yep. And then once it started, I admit I was at the Paynham Tavern.
Yes.
And it wasn't pretty watching. It was more a procession watching. Mm-hmm. And Labuschagne's innings was bizarre. 2 off 54 balls. And he just looked to be on desperate survival thing. He didn't try and work a one at all, so it was just crazy. And then he played a really bizarre shot to get out. It's one of the most weird innings. As someone who's watched a freaking lot of cricket over the years, it's one of the most weird things I've ever seen.
Were you surprised? Were you surprised with Labuschagne not scoring? And I didn't realise, I didn't take a deep dive into Labuschagne's sort of innings over the last 12 months, but he hasn't scored a lot of runs. Is it a big concern?
Oh, massively. Look, realistically, the whole top six is a question on every one of them. Look, it's not like you can go, Smith, yep, that runs in the bank, he'll come good. There's questions on Steve Smith. Khawaja, 38, and there's signs there, the footwork's... footwork's not as good. The footwork's not as good with Steve Smith.
Yep.
Nathan McSweeney debuts. And look, he actually looked okay in the first innings. I know he only made 10, so it sounds a bit ridiculous.
No,
but he actually looked okay.
Yes.
And then fails in the second innings. But yeah, there's huge question marks on the Australian batting. There's not, it's not a take it to the bank thing at the moment. I think Alex Carey's probably the best player technically.
Yes.
And he's batting 7.
Yep.
I think there's definitely a case for him to bat to be batting in front of Mitch Marsh at the moment.
Yep.
And
that's a fair call.
Yeah, I just think, we know he's a very good keeper. We all know that.
Yep.
But, yeah, it's just, big question marks.
The pick of the bowlers, obviously, in the first innings was Josh Hazlewood. How did you see the bowlers' performance, especially in the first innings? We'll talk about the second innings in a minute. But we seem to be sort of right in amongst it and the usual suspects, I suppose, were doing what they needed to do.
I thought it was okay, but probably didn't look quite as threatening
sharp,
and quite as sharp.
Yep.
Yeah. Cummins was the main one there. Stark was okay. Kayser was okay. Marsh wobbled around and looked good for a while, but then he's underdone as well. And it doesn't look like his body can cope with a big bowling workload.
Mm-hmm. So does that leave them vulnerable in that area?
Yes.
Who's the next man in if that's the
probably
case?
Probably Bo Webster, I would think.
Not so. Scotty Boland?
Yeah, but that's a bowler. If we're talking as Marsh's body not being up to it to bowl in your top six.
So you're looking for a little bit more of
a
that all-rounder?
Okay. For there.
Fair enough. Australia obviously failed in their first innings, only scoring 104, mate. Mitch Stark basically rescued a bit of the innings there with a 26 off of 112 balls.
Yeah.
We thought when Travis Head came in that he might actually get a start. He did a little bit, but then again, he plays that risky style that he either gets it right or he gets it wrong.
It was pretty average footwork the first innings. He looked okay in the second innings in terms of 80-odd and obviously a player out of the game. So he still made 100 runs for the test match. So you're saying out of that, he still performed better than the other batsmen, but I still think he needed at least one, and I think needed two games.
Yes.
I'm a big fan of you need two first-class games as preparation.
Did you see that?
And he could have had that.
I was about to say, did you see that as a mistake? Or is that, yes, like I said a little bit earlier on, that sports science has taken over and sort of said no? Or do you think the players had the ultimate call on that?
Yeah, he had. He took time off for maternity leave. Now, I get no problem missing a game for the birth of his child. No problem with that. Yep. But I don't get the bit then on maternity leave and not play the next. He could have played two Shield games still. There were still two Shield games he could have played, and at least one.
Yes.
I'm trying to work out the dates of the second one, and we're conflicted. But at least one. He could have played that, yep, and he needed to have.
Yep.
And that was wrong.
Now, we're jumping on Australia here, but Bumrah, he was the man. Captain got the ball and led by example.
And he looked like he was going to get a wicket every ball he bowled. No one else did. He's a class act. I think he's currently the best bowler in the world.
Yep.
He was brilliant.
Can't say any more about that. All right, we move on to the second innings.
What do you reckon? There's a rumour that a certain person here could be flag bearer for the second test. Maybe I try and take Bumrah out before the game.
I had heard rumours.
That could be a hero move.
Yeah, I had heard rumours.
Might get arrested, but I'll win Australia the test match.
Yes. Yeah. I had heard rumours that might be the case. Yes. India's second innings, 6 for 487. Yeah. Virat Kohli obviously scoring 100 not out there was probably the big one with Jaswal, he's
a very good player.
Yep.
He's averaging over 60 in his limited time so far, but geez, he is a class act. And that's the last thing Australia needed as well. Like, what? Not only have we got Thrash, bloody Kohli's got back in nick.
Mm-hmm.
They needed to keep Kohli down because he looked terrible in the first innings.
Well, that's what I was going to say. They got what they wanted in the first innings.
Oh, massively, because he tried something different. It was quite bizarre what he did in the first innings. You know, him and Labuschagne almost having a competition to do the most. Like, why are you batting down the track in Perth on a pitch which bounces? So, yeah, it was weird there. And then Australia's batting was just...
It was horrendous.
7 for 67. That's a schoolboy call.
Yep, absolutely. Now, we'll circle back to Manus Labuschagne. We've talked about him in the first innings. Second innings wasn't much better.
Where and
what do Australia do with him at the moment? Because...
Oh, look, he's...
Do they drop him for a game or two?
Oh, I think if he gets dropped, he's out for a while.
Yep.
I think they'll probably still keep him for this test, but I think he's on very shaky ground.
Thin ice.
I think if he fails these two, he won't play Melbourne. Yep. I would have thought.
Then that leads to my next question: where does Stephen Smith fit as well? Because
I think he's got a few more runs in the bank over time, but
I think the ice is pretty thin there too.
Oh, look, yeah. But there's no one bashing the door down. Like, the ironical part is probably from Shield cricket, Peter Hanscom's got the as many runs as anyone. And look, this, if you actually go through the batting from each side in Shield cricket, there is not one batsman who's bashing the door down.
I know the answer to this question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Are we reaping what we sow when it comes to the Shield cricket in that we have not put enough time and effort or given it the status that it should have to be able to replace these players when needed?
Bloody oath. And, you know, that's coming from a Shield nut. A few of us were talking on Sunday how the Shield standards dropped. And this was always going to catch up eventually. Cricket's four underneath. And look, thank goodness, in terms of just a club level, without the subcontinent explosion of players, a lot of clubs would have folded. And I'm including Payneham in that.
Yep.
Like we were talking on Saturday night with a couple of guys heavily involved as well. And I said, look, I'd say 50% of Adelaide Turf clubs wouldn't be here without the subcontinent players who are all arriving. And I said, really, it's probably 70%. It's 50% being conservative. So it's, you know, it's...
Is this a lack of planning for, say, 15, 20 years ago?
I think
there's... Or not seeing what's happening?
Yeah,
what's
I'm not
happen?
So sure on that. I'm just not really sure what else could have been done. There's no, it's harder to convince kids on the time commitment from cricket. Guess what? A lot of parents are quite happy that little Johnny and that doesn't play cricket because they're not there all day as well. We're back... All right, I'm another 15 years older than you, but it was cricket or footy.
Yep.
Where now it's not. It's absolutely anything.
Yep. Yep. Huh? Do you find that work?
Oh, work as well.
I think that's across all sports, though, isn't it?
Yeah, but you know, you did. There's no 9 to 5 on Monday to Friday anymore. Those days have gone.
Yep. And Sundays are off completely.
Oh, everything. So there's a lot of factors.
Yes.
And this was always going to catch up eventually.
Yep.
I think, guess what? It's coming a bit more of a hurry now, because good luck picking the Australian side before the end of the summer.
Well, yes. At the moment, you just don't know who's going to be there. Do we need a royal inquiry, not a royal commission or anything like that, but do we need an inquiry into why this has happened? Because...
Yeah, I just think there's a few factors that we've probably covered most of the factors, but then if you're going to do anything, you know, the South Australian Cricket Association had Michael Hussey do an inquiry. We know a lot of the stuff which came out, and then nothing got done about it anyway. So why bloody bother? The amount of money spent on that and then nothing to be done anyway was ridiculous.
Oh, they could have used the money there to subsidise car parking for Shield Games. Yeah. But that's a whole other situation that we won't get you there. Yes. Yes, so where does that leave Australia now?
At the crossroads, I think there's real question marks. It's all very well and good, Brad Haddin, to say, oh, look, this team's always come back when they've been questioned before, but I think there's a hell of a lot more questions at the moment.
Do you see fractures in the
I thought that was blown way out of proportion. Yes, Hazelwood didn't probably answer it as well as he could have, but, geez, eventually said, hang on, it was a mountain out of a molehill.
Which generally happens in the media. They take a small excerpt of an interview and then make it to be bigger than Ben Hur. Again, I can't move away from Marcus Labuschagne. Why is he bowling? If he's got to be concentrating on his batting, do not let him have the ball.
Oh, no, I don't mind if they're trying to get 10 overs out of a bat. You need 10 to 15 overs, and if Marsh isn't capable of it, you need that from a batter as a fifth bowler. But guess what? His bowling's not good enough for that.
That's what I'm saying. Do not throw him the ball.
Nah, it's crap. He bowls all right. He bowls right-arm smorgasbord as far as I'm
concerned. I like that one, mate. And India dined out on him more and more times than he would have liked as well. Travis Head obviously getting a bit more of a bowl there, but Nathan Lyon, 39 overs in that second innings. That's a lot of overs.
Yeah, and it's a hell of a lot your body to try and recover, and Nathan's not getting any younger either. Yep. So, as I said, it's an ageing Australian side, and I'm not sure on the quality of replacements.
Yep. Let's move on. Australia's second innings there. Travis Head high scoring there with 89. I thought he was going to go on for 100, but he got an absolute...
He did get a good ball. He probably should have let it go. Could have been, but that's Travis. Travis plays his shots. He's never going to be a tight technique player. You know, I admit I was hoping Alex would have been not out. I was disappointed Alex got out.
Yep.
In that way.
Yep.
I just think a bit of red ink doesn't hurt the averages, doesn't hurt in terms of just any question marks. As we know, it's media driven and all that. So, keeping as good as ever. And I just think.
Two more questions on the cricket, especially the test cricket. Nathan McSweeney.
I'll never write anyone off after one test match.
No.
I think the disgrace that Callum Ferguson got picked and then only one test match was farcical. Everyone should be given opportunity.
Yep.
But whether he is an opener or whether he's not, whether he should bat three or four, let's just let time.
That could open up for him.
Oh, it could. There's no doubt about that, because Harris may well come in.
Yep.
Even though Harris isn't setting the world on fire as well, but
he is a specialist opener.
They may pick him, and then McSweeney goes to three or four. Yep. So that might happen.
Yep. It's going to be an interesting. An interesting couple of weeks. All right, let's move on. Last question on the test, mate. We've come to Adelaide. What are your thoughts on that? Considering we can break some news that you will be involved in day one.
Yeah,
congratulations.
Yeah, I admit I didn't know about it at all until tonight. Pleasurable news. We'll wait and see how that unfolds. But, looking forward to it.
Absolutely.
Might have to have a Bob Neal badge on or something. I'll try and get on the cameras. A bit of fun. Yeah,
absolutely. What are your thoughts on Australia and how they can bounce back? Or do you think that this is the, it could go either way? Is this the nail in the coffin, or is this the one that makes them become better than what they need?
Day night test match as well. So there's, there's that side of it.
It's an unknown factor, isn't it?
So let's just wait and see. But there's more questions at the moment than what there is certainty. So. Yep. Yeah, let's leave it at that.
Nah, fair enough. All right, let's move on to Shield Cricket. South Australia currently taking on Western Australia. We'll give you a slight score update. 5 for 157. with a further 207 runs required to win.
That's not going to happen. It's whether we can survive the 34 overs to get the draw. We probably, unfortunately, the first day, Harry Nilsson dropped Goodwin. They would have been 2 for 4.
Yes.
He made 130-odd. So that unfortunately changed the game. And we dropped, I think, 4 catches on the first day. So it wasn't as good a day as we should have had.
And that's been some of their positives from this year, is that the fielding had been good and the catching had been good.
They'd been very good this year until that happened. So, disappointing. I'm sure Rhino would have been really pissed off with that. I know Rhino well enough. And, he would have been ropeable. And, just changed the game. They're 2 for 4.
Yes.
Game's on. So, definitely could have been.
It could have, would have, should have. And I'm sure paint was being peeled off of the walls there. Obviously, South Australia's first innings there at 3 for 2 wasn't a great start.
And one of the most bizarre things ever. I was there at that stage, and Jai Richardson has Connor McInerney and Daniel Drew were both palpably plumb at LBW. Mm-hmm. They're both smashing middle stump halfway up.
Yep.
And after his second wicket, he's run through, and one of the guys has gone to give him the high five.
Oh, yeah.
And he did his shoulder.
Yes.
It was bizarre. So there he was on a hat trick and has to go off the ground. And at that stage, we're thinking, you bloody beauty, that's the end of him for the game.
Yep.
Somehow they got it back in. Well done to Doc Verrill, the chopper helped out there. Mm-hmm. The South Australian doctor getting it back in. And he's back bowling again. It was like the coming back of Lazarus.
There you go.
It was crazy.
Then 4 for 31 wasn't exactly ideal. But then Harry Nilsson decided that he'd had enough. Henry Hunt. Had enough and went on to score a century.
Yeah, by pure fluke, I actually ended up watching a bit of it with Henry Hunt's dad, and it was quite amusing. Just, he was so nervous with his son, and it just, it reminds you as a parent, watching your kid play sports so much harder than playing.
Yes.
And yeah, it was funny.
He's on the edge of the seat.
Oh, mammoth.
Feeling every ball.
Yeah,
and
don't move
and
now. It was funny.
Yes.
Absolutely
fantastic. And then Ben Menenti, 73 not out. Again, he's been around the mark, Menenti.
Yeah, I still think if he's going to play, he's got to play as a top six batter. I think he's a batsman who can bowl a bit. He's not a frontline bowler. And I think we've missed Lloyd Pope this game.
Yep.
Lloyd Pope wins the game against Victoria and then doesn't play this game. So, yeah, I just think there, no problem with Menenti playing, but if he's going to play, plays as a top six.
Yep.
That's how I feel.
Who does he replace if that is the case?
Oh, whether he, he's just got to play in the top six.
Yep.
Yeah. I'll leave that at that.
No, fair enough. Harry Nilsson, which I did speak about there, unfortunately, one shy of 50 in that innings.
Yeah, well, didn't get it. It was a pretty average LBW decision too. He was not Davo's finest decision.
Yep.
It was a guess.
Second innings, as I said, South Australia, 5 for 164. Connor McInerney, 25. Henry Hunt, unfortunately, didn't back up with only 2. Harry Nilsson and Liam Scott are currently at the crease. Yeah. We'll certainly have a result by the time this goes to air tomorrow night.
Yeah.
All right, mate, let's move on to local cricket. So your local cricket report with the SA Cricket Premier League.
So they're probably, unfortunately, East Torrens are in Div 2, but Ryan King must be smashing the door down for four Redback selection.
Yes, sorry, South Australian.
Fault again.
I've done it a few times as well.
For South Australia, where he, again on the weekend, I'm trying to remember, I'm getting it up now.
Yep.
So it was 166 on memory. Let's see how correct I was. 168.
Ooh.
So out of that, he's made 183 earlier in the year as well.
Yep.
So he's made some big hundreds, which tends to always help your chances. And look, he can play. I think it will be insane if he doesn't get a striker's contract. It'll be incompetence if he doesn't, actually, because he smashes them. So the 183 early in the year was in a one-day game, and he got out in the 36th over of the game. So if he hadn't got out,
he could have made.
Oh, he was on target for 250 in the at least.
Yep, and the team for about 400, if I remember right.
They fell away to make 375. There you go, that's right. That's crazy.
Yep.
So, and he's made a couple other runs, so he's got to be around the mark.
Yes.
In terms of in the Premier side of it, there was also a bizarre situation on the weekend, and I. From a gentleman who was there on Saturday night, showed photos, and the game at Henley got abandoned, not a ball bowled on the weekend from the state of the outfield. And
oh, wow.
It was quite crazy there what's going on.
Yep.
And I think West Torrens as a club are pretty frustrated because it's council and a few things happening there. Yep. So, yeah, it's it was a bit bizarre.
Is that not something that the SACA can go to the council and say, hey, we need these up to speed?
I'm not sure what's happening.
Right.
Look, but the Oval, it looked, a country ground where the Zed grade plays and you play a game of sport, whatever the Oval is, that's what the Oval looked like.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was quite incredible.
That is crazy.
But Sturt, continue on their merry way. Sturt defeated Kensington reasonably convincingly.
Yep.
Bowled Kenzie out for 163.
Yep.
And in reply made 9 for 251. So in Kenzie's first innings for Kenzie, Stephen Doheny from the Irish Creek got 43, then a couple of 30s.
Mm-hmm.
But Sturt, Angus Parker, 3 for 52, and then Mackenzie Harvey did the sorb, did the clean over of the tail with 4 for 13.
Yep.
And then, good consistent performances. Gwell by Sturt with a bat. Brad Davis here to save us got 63 again, and he continued his merry way as probably the Premier League's
Sturt
best
sound
batter.
Like they're on a bit of a mission this year, aren't they?
Well, they've come back up,
and
they're currently on top. So full credit to Sturt as a club. They didn't lose guys last year. They stayed together when they went down to Div 2, and they're just performing at the moment.
Yep.
Adelaide defeated Port Adelaide. Port Adelaide, as the reigning premiers, are probably struggling a bit more than expected.
Yep.
Adelaide also went back up, so a good effort by Adelaide to bowl Port out for 147, which Liam Thompson 4 for 39 was the main person there, and then Adelaide's first innings just a bit of a team effort. Jacob Reichelt with 52, but Suraj Rajesh, and I rate him. I reckon he's got a bit of potential with 46. And then Matthew Barnes, 49 down the order. And then Port's bowling was just Nicholas Benham with 3 for 34. And Tom Andrews has come back. He played last year, but came back from Tasmania 2 years ago.
Yes.
Contributed. There, so yeah.
And the under-19s, that's probably the last.
They're in Div 2, but they're going okay.
That's what I'm interested to hear about, mate.
They again got up on the weekend. So they made a 10 for 333. So they're batting pretty deep. Both openers failed this game, which Kane Halfpenny had a good year. Thomas Brown's probably. Had a couple of good solid scores and then a few failures. But Lucas Doe with 128, Hard Shah 71, Dylan Jones with 52. So, they all can, big score and then bold prospect out for 198 in reply. So, a pretty convincing win there in the end as well.
Fantastic. All right, mate, let's take a quick break. Coming up. AFL, the goal of the year and the AFLW, goal of the year and mark of the year. It's a South Australian player, so congratulations there to Adelaide and Port Adelaide respectively. And in the basketball, the sanctions have been handed down to the Adelaide 36ers. We'll talk about that a little bit more after the break.
We'll be right back after this short break.
Looking to buy or sell your home anywhere in Adelaide, from the hills to the sea? Meet Gary Creeves, your dedicated local agent from Owens Casserly Real Estate. With unparalleled knowledge of Adelaide's housing market and a commitment to exceptional service, Gary ensures a smooth and stress-free experience for all your real estate needs. Trust the expert, trust Gary Creeves at Owens Casserly Real Estate. Your next dream home awaits. Contact Gary today on 0422 071 317 or on email garyk@ocre.com.au. And for more listings, please visit owenscasserly.com.au. Make it happen. Thank you to Gary Creeves there and Owens Casserly for helping us out. Mate, we move on to the AFL. The first coach of the season is on the move, but with a different role with the Sydney Swans.
Yeah, it sounds like that is virtually said, right, just wait till we come back to pre-season. Take your time, make your decision for sure. And he's, you did all suspect that was the case, that Dean Cox knocked back the chance to be interviewed by West Coast. So there were always rumours about this, that was the succession plan. Yep. So
do you think it came a bit earlier than anticipated?
I just think they kept that pretty well in-house, and yeah, it didn't really get out at all until 24 hours previously. Yep. So now well done to Sydney and their professional organisation.
Sydney and Geelong are the best at it, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yep, absolutely. Yep. What do you expect from Dean Cox? From all reports, very,
very
likeable, well-regarded, very balanced.
Yeah, and look, they've got a good list. And, you know, you play enough home games in Sydney.
Yep.
They should have, therefore, obviously, made the eight, and then you go from there. So, yeah, look, I think that's a smooth – they're pretty organised, Sydney, with their smooth transition, and just a very well-run club.
Yep. Absolutely.
Andrew Prettyman, Tom Harley.
Yes.
Richard Collar still involved.
Yep.
You know, behind the scenes. Yep. They're a very, very well-run club.
There's a couple of clubs here in SA that could probably do with some of that acumen. That's a very good word for it. Question without notice, mate. If you were given a magic wand today and you were said you could coach any AFL club right now, which job would you like to take over? Considering we do look at Dean Cox taking over a reasonably good list, but is there a club that you wouldn't mind having a bit of a crack at?
I don't mind Hawthorn's youth and that chance to come through.
Yep.
Instead
of one, maybe three. We'll make it a bit easier.
I don't mind that.
Yep.
Look, Gold Coast is still the ability on that list. They underachieved this year, and they should make the eight with that list.
Yep.
If you offer me any list, the chance, right, you can go and have that list. That would probably be the team I'd pick.
Yep.
So they're probably for mine the two. And Frio, I think, as now, well.
That's the surprise one for me, that Frio's come from left field a little bit.
Yeah, I think
that it's a list everybody wants to get.
I like their list. And picking up Bolton and that, yes, consistency's not his middle name, but geez. He's only got to turn it on four or five times, and that's three more wins, and then all of a sudden, you know, they stuffed up. They look like they're going to get top four a month to go, and they didn't make the eight. Now, who knows the mental scars of that, but they've recruited for now. They gave up the kitchen sink for Bolton.
Yep.
Let's wait and see.
They did almost what Essendon did with a month and a half ago. The scars from Essendon doing that the year before didn't exactly hold them in good stead. All right, let's move on. The AFL draft is completely completed. Adelaide pick up Sid Draper and Tyler Welsh.
Yeah, look, I love Draper in terms of I really rate him.
Yep. Now, did you ever think that there was a chance that Adelaide weren't going to get him?
Oh, there were whispers around. You didn't really know. I may have had a couple of messages on the last day asking me a couple of questions about Draper, I thought was interesting.
Yes.
From a particular Adelaide person.
Yep.
But I think I watched him 18 times last year. So it wasn't a case, I'm not going from 5 minutes highlights. I love his burst.
Yep.
I love his footy IQ. He runs to the right spot.
Mm-hmm.
Does some things you can't
teach. Yes.
And you know,
so it's very instinctual.
Yeah.
That's important.
I rate him. I really do.
Yep. I think Adelaide got their man, homegrown talent, loves the Crows. And what else? Do you think he's going to make that first 22?
Yes. Yep.
Good call.
I'll have money on him to be in the side round one.
All right, let's have a little wager on that. Coffee each way. Tyler Welsh, obviously father-son prospect. We knew about that before the draft, but do we see him being a vital part of Adelaide moving forward?
I think long term, he's got to do a bit of work.
Yep.
Don't worry, they'll hammer him on the fitness side. He's got Burgess there for a couple of things there. So there's probably a little bit more with Tyler there. Yep. I think he's a fair way behind.
Yep.
Sid in terms of being ready to play around.
But there is upside there.
Oh, yeah, there
again,
is.
Can't teach that natural talent. And
he's a natural forward.
That sort of flair around goal, yeah, a bit like his old man.
Yeah, he's got a bit of his dad's movement. He's probably a little bit bigger than his dad, but all the best to Sue Abbott, obviously, with Draper's Mar. So I admit, I didn't know about that beforehand. It was all of a sudden I saw all the people with... Hang on, I know half that crowd. And then came out and a couple of people said, how in the hell didn't you know that rule?
Yep.
So it was.
It's almost like you being stuck for words, mate. Never happens.
Yeah, that's what happened.
Adelaide also picked up in the rookie draft Harry Schoenberg and Chris Burgess.
Yeah, it's back.
Were you surprised that they did do Burgess?
I think Burgess had 2 years for the start with, so it would have been a payout there.
Yep.
It's a way of just... Yeah,
balancing the books a little
books
bit?
Books a little bit. You know, I don't get, and for mine, there's got to be major questions put on. How can St Kilda re-pick Brad Crouch a week ago
and now
he retires this week? For mine, the AFL's got to have questions on that.
Yep.
That just shouldn't be a tick. That's bullshit.
Yep.
You know? Might cost us Harry Boyd too. Yep. So there might be another thing there.
But
remove that from the serious side of it.
Yeah.
I just think it's ridiculous.
But there was a LinkedIn profile saying that he was working for some transport company.
No, it's in real estate game.
Oh, real estate.
Yeah.
Six or eight weeks ago.
So it's crap. It just should not. The AFL should come down on that. No. No way. And they've been a bit weak there. And I think that comes back, as we've said, they lack leadership. Dylan and Kane are a dynamic.
All right, let's move on to Port Adelaide's draft hall. Joe Berry, Jack Whitelock, and Christian Moores.
Yeah, so Whitelock becomes the potential key forward.
For Marshall?
Yeah.
Is that what you're thinking?
Yeah, I think so. And also, big body, who knows, full forward. You're just not sure on the bigger kids. Berry, the word was around all of a sudden. Port found out other clubs were interested in him, so they actually traded up one or two spots.
Yep.
So it's a little bit crazy there, but they're obviously decided that was an area they desperately needed strengthening. So, interesting selection there. And, let's wait and see.
Absolutely. Tom Cochran was also
rookie
as well.
I like him.
Well, they're going to get him for next to Nick's being on the rookie draft.
Oh, he gets the footy.
Absolutely. Mate, as every year goes around, there's always one team or one particular group that become the bunnies, I suppose, and made to look a little bit silly. Which club did you think it might be this year?
No, I think it's too hard to tell. And
For me, it was Essendon. I thought they gave up way too much to get a player they could have got where they were anyway.
Yeah, a little bit. There was also rumours on there, so they'd swap their first draft choice to go back to get the points later. So that was also what Gold Coast did with Lombardo from their academy. So it looks like what they gave up for Daniel Rioli was ridiculous, but they're almost going, well, we don't want that choice because we want more draft choices for more points. So it is quite complicated procedure.
Yep. I still think Essendon made a huge mistake. That's.
I think they virtually gave string of the bullet, really.
Yes.
So, it's interesting there that they've decided on that.
But there's still a club without any A-grade midfielders or A-grade players.
And
the problem.
Stringer, for mine, was still there probably, while he's not consistent, he was still their most game-threatening forward. So, that's fair.
I fit Essendon in with St Kilda in that they have a good workman-like performance that'll get them to places, but it won't get them past that.
I reckon St Kilda's got more upside.
Yeah.
They may have Philippou come through and becomes that dominant midfielder.
Yep. And you got King up forward.
Who can be still be anything. So I reckon there's more potential there.
Yep.
Yes, there's risks on it, whether players are going to come good, but I reckon there's more to work with. I'd rather have the St Kilda list than the Essendon list.
Right, well, you answered my question there, mate. Fair call. Obviously, congratulations to those players starting their first week at the job. Some of the photos is always good to look at.
Yeah.
They do look like a fish out of water, especially with some of the more established players. They've got a long road ahead of them, and we wish them all the best. All right, let's move on to the AFLW. A new AFL champion has been crowned. Ebony Marinoff crowned the league's best and fairest, and also the vice-captain of the All-Australian team.
And let's get the good parts of Ebony. Like, she works her backs off. She gets to contest after contest after contest.
Finds the ball.
She's hard inside and that. Her kicking has a little bit of improvement.
Yep.
Still needs to be better.
Yep.
Would hurt the opposition more. Look, I still think there could be an more upside on Ebony, which sounds ridiculous when she's won the thing, because she still doesn't run to the right spots.
Yep.
Hasn't grown up playing footy. And people think, oh, you're just being way too hard on her. But 75 games by now, I think the person shouldn't be demanding the ball when they're not in the right spot. Mm-hmm. They give her the ball because she's captain and all that.
Yep.
And the gun, oh, we've got to give Ebony the ball. Well, there's times no Ebony.
Yep.
Nick off. Take the girl who's tagging you. It's still...
See ball, get ball.
Ball, yeah. And it's still the competition in general to evolve. It's still very much like mini league is, where kids just swarm around the ball. There's still, and you pick things up as a kid. You learn quicker as a kid than what you do as an adult.
Yep.
And that's still the thing where AFLW, and look, it's grown too quick for its own good. Yep. We acknowledge that.
Yep.
There's players playing who shouldn't be and that. And look, Adelaide in that regard, before Port came in, they got the cream of the crop each year because you stayed. So players, they just got topped up each year. So a dynamic side. And then now all of a sudden they've got honest battlers in their side, which they didn't have.
They've got a bit of work to do.
You know, so there's things there. But I just want to see Ebony's footy smarts improve.
Yep.
That's my criticism of Ebony. Brilliant on inside, works her ass off. A very good player at that level, but I still think she could be so much better with just little things to improve on.
Well, we'll put in a call to Doc Clark there. And
I think we'll get Phil Harper on one night, and it'll just be interesting to get Harps. And don't worry, if Harps doesn't agree with me, he'll tell me.
He'll tell you. Yeah. I'll look forward to that. Yeah. That should be a bit of fun. Obviously, congratulations also in winning the vice-captain's role there. She's had a fantastic year, but look, games record holder... played pretty much all the most amount of finals. You talked about that evolution of the AFL game. I think we're starting to see that with North Melbourne.
Yes. They're the best side by a long way. And they showed that again on the weekend. And they're on a mission. They should have won it last year. And they're hell-bent. We stuffed up.
Yep.
We're on a mission. And they bat deeper.
Yes.
In terms of their 18th player.
Yes.
Or 22nd player, whatever, is a mile better than anyone else's. 22nd player.
Yep.
That's where they're the best side.
And that's where premierships are built, really, aren't they?
Massively.
That final four on your list there as to how they can make it better. All right, let's move on to the grand final preview. Kangaroos v Brisbane. Obviously, the Kangaroos absolutely doing a huge job on Port Adelaide last weekend, but not really expected to Port Adelaide. We didn't expect
them to get a free hit. They'd won eight in a row. A great effort to get to the prelim. They'll keep improving, you know, Shoals, etc., you know, winning the Rising Star Award, and she can really play. And Port getting her was a bit of a matter of conjecture as well. It was a bit controversial.
Yep.
Well done by Port Adelaide.
Yep.
But,
well, they've had a couple of those deals over the journey, not only with the men's but the women's as well, that they've done pretty well.
Yes, but... she'll grow into it. She'll be one of the best players in the comp in the next couple of years.
She's a big girl who knows how to find the ball and take a fair old grab too.
Yep.
As we saw there in the little previews there
she's
with
a
the
natural
footballer. Mark of the year. Yeah, absolutely. And we're going to start to see that more and more.
Yeah. Yep.
I think Port Adelaide are going to be scary good for a few years. I really look forward to watching their development. Brisbane, obviously getting the job done over Adelaide there. A little bit tighter than... we sort of thought, but then all of a sudden the Lions got on top.
Yeah, Adelaide missed some goals. Again, look, shocking play-on decision as well. And it did change the game a bit. You know, player, she may have taken half a step off her line. It was way too quick to just over-officious, leave the bloody game alone, let the players play, stop wanting to be noticed. So that was pretty disappointing, and that did change it. But Brisbane's overall class did, and did again, batted through a bit deeper.
Yep.
Adelaide, Chelsea Randall was brilliant, especially the half-time. Apparently, we didn't see that game live. Yep. We were at Paynham. We've only seen highlights since.
Yes.
But that was the word, that her first half was sensational. Yep. So, yeah.
And also making the All-Australian side for Adelaide Crows did make that. Congratulations go to them. All right, mate, let's move on to the basketball. The fallout from last week's crowd incident has Adelaide to decide whether to appeal a decision that was handed down. We've now just found out that basically they are going to accept that and move on.
Yeah, I thought it was a bit weak. Their club statement is wishy-washy. It's got the strength of dishwasher liquid. It's pathetic.
I was a little surprised. It was a one-man panel.
Yeah.
The fact that a fan was able to engage with a player in any other sport means pretty much a lifetime ban, and yet on this occasion, the player's the one that got the ban.
The spectator has since.
Yes.
But it seemed to be crazy. How can you announce the penalties to the players before you announce the spectator?
Yep.
And so aren't you doing it all as one? It seemed to be a bit of a witch hunt. And I think Adelaide have been crucified. And I reckon the club has been a bit piss-weak.
Yep. It's going to be interesting to see how they rebound with that. Both players not available for 2 and 3 matches, respectively.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see how they come back. They might come back with a very big point to prove, and this could be the kickstart that Adelaide need to get some consistency in their season.
Yeah, but you'd expect they're going to lose to it, probably two of the next three at least.
Yep.
So, it just... got me beat.
Makes it hard. All right, Adelaide play the Tasmanian Jack Jumpers 30th of November at the Entertainment Centre at 7:30. That'd be Friday night, I believe, or thereabouts. Might even be Saturday night.
Saturday night.
Good luck to the 36ers there. All right, mate, let's have a bit of a look at what is coming up. On Friday, we've got Braden Lyle, part one. We do apologise for last week on that one there. And Tommy Warhurst, part two, coming up on Monday.
Yeah, we got hold of Braden in the end, and it was a good chat, really enjoyable chat.
Absolutely.
You're listening to the Game On Podcast. We'll be right back after this short break.
A dent and scratches putting a dent in your day? Introducing Rogerstein Crash Repairs Adelaide, your trusted solution for automotive woes. With over 2 decades of expertise, Rogerstein Crash Repairs guarantees top-notch service, restoring your vehicle to its former glory in no time. From minor dings to major collisions, our skilled technicians handle it all with precision and care, using state-of-the-art equipment and techniques.
Rogerstein Crash Repairs saved my car. It looks brand new.
Fast, friendly and reliable. I wouldn't trust anyone else with my vehicle. Don't let accidents slow you down. Visit Rogerstein Crash Repairs Adelaide at 14 Penner Avenue, Glynde, for quality service you can count on. And here's a special offer just for our listeners. Mention this podcast and receive a $100 discount on your repair. Rogerstein Crash Repairs Adelaide. Excellence in every repair.
Flashbacks.
All right, tonight, because we did have Braden Lyle on our flashbacks, we're going to flashback to Port Adelaide's first ever game against Collingwood. What are your recollections, mate?
The Pies were way too good in the end, a pretty comfortable win, but I do remember that. I reckon Shane Brewer kicked their first goal on memory as well.
Yes.
So,
Absolutely, and good to see Port Adelaide join the AFL in 97. Unfortunately, not getting their first win until they met Geelong here at Football Park. Got to remember that we're at Footy Park, and then obviously then going on to beat the Crows in the first ever showdown.
Yeah, the Crows won the game, which counted at the end of the year.
I knew you were going to say that. Sit back, relax, and enjoy this little flashback.
Primus again.
What more daunting opening could there have been? Collingwood, an MCG crowd of 50,000, and the expectation of a crowd back home glued to their television sets. To make matters worse, Collingwood was in rare form. By late in the second term, they'd kicked 11 straight, 12 goals won by half-time.
Fitter than he's ever been, chips it in short to Curran, and the Magpies go forward. It's kicked to the pocket, Patterson. Can he get his third? He's got a race in the goal.
Oh, he's gone too far.
That's a three-foot third goal. Well played.
Gee, they're finding all about it now as Francis finally gets clear to Primus.
First goal kicker for the new look Port, Shane Brewer.
Getting plenty of the ball. Poole goes in hard. A hand pass to Brewer. Here's their chance for their first goal in the AFL. Brewer, yes, he's got it. Is Nathan Buckley. The mark is dropped down there by Meade, but Fabian Francis has got it. He belts it to the full forward area of the Ruckman fly. Over the back, here's Heber.
That's his goal.
Another goal, well played, Brett Heber.
Peter Burgoyne, the danger player down there at the moment. Poole takes it out of the air, tries to do it on his own, and the big man does.
Now, Port have got it all covered 60 metres from here, so Buckley's forced to go across the ground. And he finds Stephen Patterson, who drives it to the half-forward line. They should mark here, Collingwood. Yes,
that was well done by Watson.
Mark Richardson on the Paul Williams, who race in the goal and puts it through the middle.
Curran at centre wing. Lyles in front.
This was a gutsy first-up effort, and just a glimpse of things to come in the big time.
Puts it through. His second.
Cummings, Francis, Heaver and Poole, two goals apiece. Dickey, Wilson and Francis, the best for Port.
Was it a worry coming up against Collingwood first up?
Yes, I think they marketed that very well because it was a new team coming in. It was the old established team. It was black and white. One wanted to retain their colours and the Magpies. The other, the new kids on the block, wanted to take that over. We caught Collingwood right at a peak, and they were for the first three or four games. They were very competitive, full of run. But we came back two or three times, and I saw that during the game, that there was some competitive spirit there, that we weren't down and out. Collingwood skipped away in the finish, but I could see some daylight even then. A lot of people couldn't see it. But we, the players, we thought we could see some confidence, that we could perhaps compete a lot better than we thought. And so whilst it was exciting for the players, some haven't seen the MCG at that stage, I think we learned a lot from the first game, the intensity, the ferocity of Collingwood, how bad they wanted to win and start the season off well. So it was a good initiation for us, and I think it got us on the right.
Liking this podcast? Please like, rate and subscribe. Extra time. Big finish.
All right, mate, to finish us off tonight, let's start off with the tennis. The Australia bows out once again in the semi-finals for the Davis Cup against Italy.
Yeah, good effort, great effort against the USA, though.
Absolutely. Tanasi Kokkinakis was unbelievable there, playing incredible. A tiebreaker that went almost... half an hour, I think, at one stage there. It was absolutely crazy.
Back to Blue Hills episode.
Yeah, mate, absolutely.
Tonight.
Yeah. What do you think Australia need to do to just take that next step?
I just think they need one or two of their players, just just to kick through. We're threatening. Who knows what it who it'll be? But yep. We need just that one, just to kick through and be that.
Yep.
Because at the moment, while Dimina's the number one amongst them. he could easily get overtaken by a couple of those.
Yep.
You know, Putin might come through to be the one to
yep.
go that next level where, you know, Dimonar, we, well, we love his energy.
He's the grinder.
He's the energizer battery. Yep. He's the late Hewitt, get it back. But whether he's got enough
yep.
weapons to go the next level is debatable.
Yep. It certainly means that 2025 looks to be an exciting year for the Australian players and their supporters. It all starts here, obviously, in Australia after a small little break over the Christmas period here. Do we see that next wave coming in 2025? I'm not going to say for the Australian Open, but do we see 2025 being that year that things do change?
Yeah, maybe. I think, though, we've taken enormous steps forward this year overall, especially male-wise.
Yep.
Obviously, female-wise, the Ash Barty giving it away, put that back a couple of years.
Yes.
But at least male-wise, it's been an enormous... All of a sudden, we're getting people through, you know, second, third, fourth round of yeah. majors. Well, that hadn't happened for a long, yeah, long yeah. time.
And also in the doubles there,
around the mark.
A couple of
yeah.
elder, more statesmen, players that have been around the tour for a little while are now actually just enjoying their tennis almost in their twilight a little bit and yeah. actually... Exactly. providing some pretty good results. Should be a very, very good year. All right, let's move on to motorsport. Formula One in Vegas, but a new team, General Motors, to enter the races from 25-26. An in-principle agreement has been reached.
They based at Elizabeth?
No, unfortunately not, mate. That would be amazing,
yeah,
wouldn't it?
Yeah, I couldn't help myself.
No, absolutely.
Yeah.
Good to see some more teams. Formula One's growing in popularity. They did have the Netflix series there that yeah. sort of kicked things back into gear for Formula One. Jeez, wouldn't it be great if Peter Malinauskas was listening to get a Grand Prix maybe back here in Adelaide? But yeah. Melbourne have got it stitched yeah. up at the moment. I think we do the touring cars better than anybody.
Yeah, I'm quite happy just to have that anyway. Yep.
I think that's our niche, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is that touring car with... Obviously, the Holden plant being in Adelaide, and yeah. you know, I know that Holden aren't necessarily involved with the supercars as much, but there's still a link. That's yeah. exactly right. All right, let's move on to SNFL news. Glenelg go from strength to strength after recruiting another talented player, the North Adelaide captain.
Geez, good luck against them this year at the moment. I think, yeah. We don't know what the Crows and Port are going to end up, but
yep.
I think everyone else, they're certainly chasing the yellow and black mob, unfortunately.
Yep. No, they're going to be chasing their tail as well. Hayes to return from to the Eagles from St Kilda. I think that's a nice little pickup for them, isn't it? All right, mate, we better wind things up there. Let's do the good, the bad, the ugly. What's your good for the week, mate?
Oh, the good was Paynham Saturday night.
Yes.
I think the bad for me is Adelaide, is the 36ers just wishy-washy, piss-weak statement. I just think it's, you know, we've already had the coach this year and that, and they did that. So they've been ruthless there,
yes.
but then wishy-washy on this. It's hypocritical. It's bizarre. You can say, hey, we accept the decision because we don't know what else to do. We vehemently disagree and all that. And I'm sorry, to be a one-man person, why not appeal it? I'd like to know what could it have been lengthened, whatever. But yeah, for mine, there's a lot of question marks there on leadership.
Yep. So you're saying that if they did appeal it, it goes from 3 games to 4 games?
Who knows?
Like a bit like the AFL sometimes?
Yeah, well, it used to be with the AFL. Yep. So I'm not sure on that.
Are you surprised it was a one-man panel?
Oh, massive.
A three-man panel would have certainly sufficed.
It's weird. It doesn't make sense.
Yep, absolutely.
From it. You know, probably got to try and get it and ask a couple of people around the basketball traps this week.
Yep.
Because I'm, you know, neither of us are basketball nuts. No. So I'll chase that up a bit more this week.
A little bit perplexed. Yeah. And you're ugly for the week, mate?
Well, that probably is there. Yeah. I think ugly was Australia.
Yep.
Australia and the cricket.
Yeah.
The batting was... piss weight.
I'm glad you said it because that's exactly what I was going to say.
It was horrendous.
Mate, my good for the week was thoroughly enjoying Saturday night there and listening to three absolute legends along with yourself and Harmsy there, interviewing those guys for that there. But I also think Ebony Marinoff, congratulations go to her. And also the other South Australians who picked up awards on the night. I did sort of actually sit and watch it.
What is it? Chelsea Randall, Caitlin Gould.
Yes.
And... Prowse as the defender.
And then Marinoff.
And Munyard getting goal of the year. Yes. So there was certainly a big South Australian flavour on the night.
And
so
then obviously Matilda Schultz taking out there. So
rising star.
Great work for South Australia there. As my good, my bad. I'm a bit like you with the Adelaide 36ers. But I have to say, bad for us for not actually pointing out that Adelaide United are currently...
Yeah, we better get back on that bandwagon. We've been a bit slack there.
So bad from us on that point.
Well done on a win. Yep. I was following that against Brisbane on Saturday before we kicked off at Payneham. Yep. And Brisbane went the front and Adelaide came from behind to win away. Yes. And Adelaide United currently second on the ladder.
Yep.
So
undefeated at the moment. A couple of draws, obviously, but... undefeated.
We'll get back on we'll jump on that bandwagon. We're very quick. Any South Australian bandwagon, don't worry, I'll jump on it.
No worries. And my ugly is, like you said, the cricket was just deplorable. Oh. Can't say anything positive about it, unfortunately. No. And unfortunately, Nathan McSweeney, being a South Australian, didn't exactly get the baptism he would have liked. He got a baptism of fire, that's for sure. All right, mate, we better wind things up there. As per usual, we promise to do better next time. But until then, thank you very much, mate.
In this crazy world we live in, we all need the distraction. Enjoying the show? Like, rate, and subscribe. Hook up and connect with us on social media @SportsCastSA. We'll see you next time on Game On.